how I do hope that this is not what getting back to normal in our country is going to look like. In the span of just a few days, Americans witnessed two mass shootings. Both offer fodder yet again for intense debate about both access to firearms and mental health services. The thing is, while acts of mass violence still grab at least some public attention, more isolated attacks and the constant fear of them are a daily fact of life for many of our neighbors, and rarely do they receive proportional coverage in the media or public rhetoric. Committed to change that for Americans who have been targeted both in the general irrational response to the COVID pandemic and in the specific bloodbath in Georgia, are persons identified as Asian Americans. This is not dissimilar from how Muslims and others who were mistaken for them have been targeted since 9/11. Bringing people together across ethnic and religious lines to address these dangers is the Asian American Christian Collaborative, and I am really pleased to welcome the group's Vice President, Dr. Michelle Reyes, to State of Belief Radio. Michelle, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Michelle, the Collaborative has made an unambiguous statement. The Atlanta massacre was racially motivated. Let's start right there.
Yeah, so it's interesting that some folks are trying to argue that the Atlanta massacre was not racially motivated. And this is despite the fact that the shooter was reported to yell, "I'm going to kill all the Asians." And Cherokee County authorities simply describe the shooter as being, you know, fed up and having a really bad day. But the shooter's bad day led to the massacre of four people in one location, followed by a 30-mile drive to another two places. And he was on his way to Florida when he was apprehended. And I believe his intention was to target more. And so the shooter's actions do suggest a deliberate, preconceived plan to target Asians, particularly Asian women. And to that end, I think it's important for people to understand that the Atlanta massacre is a link in a long chain of hate and violence experienced by Asians and Asian Americans in the United States. And we've been tagged as a so-called yellow peril threatening the West with disease, something that has been ramped up in rhetoric over the past 4 years in our country. Asian Americans are also racialized as perpetual foreigners and outsiders. And because of that, we have been met with interpersonal racist violence, but also systemic anti-immigrant policies. And Asian women in particular have been targeted through racialization and sexualization, which has in turn led to their mass objectification, fetishization, and more. And so even the fact that the term massage parlor has been used in the past week's news reports in connection with Asian women connotes a sense of hypersexualization. So not only was the Atlanta massacre a racist attack, it was the result of numerous interconnected causes. The shooter is a self-identified Christian nationalist. He had a sex addiction. He wanted to kill Asians. And we have to come to terms with the fact, particularly, North American Christians, that the shooter's passion for God and country fueled his hate for both women and Asians. This was a racist, misogynistic, and nationalist attack.
And in response, you are bringing together people of goodwill in cities across the country on Sunday, March 28th. What's planned for that day?
We are hosting simultaneous prayer rallies to stand for AAPI Lives and Dignity on March 28th, 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern in Atlanta, Chicago, New York City, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Austin, Houston, Baltimore, Detroit, Washington, and the list keeps growing. And in partnership with leaders, churches, and organizations, the AACC is bringing together Asian American Christians and friends of the community to grieve the loss of those killed in Atlanta on March 16th, and to lament the greater systemic evils of anti-Asian hate and misogyny. So both myself and our president, Raymond Chang, were flying to Atlanta on Saturday, and the churches and orgs we're working with to lead local efforts include We Love Buhai, Open Table Community Church, Four Points Church, and other churches throughout the city. The AND Campaign and Be the Bridge, which are both national Christian organizations, will be there supporting both local and national efforts. And so in all of the rallies in all of the cities, we will highlight local faith leaders and particularly Asian American Christian women to provide space to process the pain of recent racism, pray for healing, practice repentance and the failures of the church that has led to these sorts of tragedies, and to proclaim the dignity and sacredness of all life. And speakers will also highlight the calls to action described in the AACC statement on the Atlanta massacre and ongoing anti-Asian hate.
Some folks are hearing this on the 28th. So talk about when and where they can still join into this this meeting.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go to our website, which is www.AsianAmericanChristianCollaborative.com, you'll see a link to a landing page which has all the information for all of the cities and the prayer rallies, and location, schedule of events, directions, everything you could imagine. We want to extend the invitation for anyone to join in person. If you can't, we're going to offer live streams of the rallies through our Facebook page on Sunday. You know, not only that, but if you would like to get involved in other ways, I'd encourage you to read, sign, and share the AACC statement on the Atlanta massacre that we released this past week. You know, our team has also been working around the clock to put these rallies together, and we're all volunteer-run and donation-based, and we're not only that, but we are wanting to financially support and care for the victims and the family members of the victims and the community. So if you can't plan a rally or join in person, but want to support the work of making a donation to AACC and help fuel our mission, you can go to give.aachristcollab.com. And of course, you can follow us on social media at AAChristCollab for all updates and further projects.
I'd love to hear a little bit about the origins of the Asian American Christian Collaborative.
Yeah, so the Asian American Christian Collaborative is a multi-denominational group. It's a very diverse group led by and for Asian American Christians. And the president, Raymond Chang, and myself are co-founders of the AACC, as well as the lead drafters of the statement on anti-Asian racism in the time of COVID-19, which we published last March, just a year ago, March of 2020. And this statement catalyzed the creation of our organization. Within a span of a few weeks, it received over 11,000 signatures and received support from churches, organizations, and Ivy League schools from around the country. And our mission is to equip Asian American Christians and friends of the community to follow Christ holistically. And we do this by engaging faith, race, culture, and justice from a biblical perspective. And I wanted to mention, too, that in alignment with our mission, AACC condemns all violent acts and calls for justice for all peoples. And this includes racial profiling, discrimination, and racism against Middle Easterners and Muslims. And I wanted to share this because I myself am second generation Indian American. And for most of my life, and especially after 9/11, I've been misidentified as a Middle Easterner and have been discriminated as a result. And, you know, in fact, in the week of 9/11, I'll still never forget some of my classmates asking me if I was a terrorist. And, you know, hate crimes against Indians and South Asians skyrocketed. And the first casualty after the September 11th attacks was a Sikh named Balbir Singh Sodhi in Mesa, Arizona. And I remember I had Indian friends whose cars were keyed and worse. And then fast forward to this past week, I've had friends reaching out and asking me to be cautious when leaving my home, because we all know that people who commit racial violence can't tell the difference between Middle Easterners and South Asians. And sadly, I think that the Atlanta massacre is just the beginning of more life-threatening hate crimes against Asians, Asian Americans, Middle Easterners, Christians and Muslims, and more. So All that to say, AECC stands in solidarity with all marginalized groups who have experienced racial violence and injustice. We're all in this together, and it will require all of us fighting for each other's equality and liberation to make real systemic change for the future.
That's a massive group of populations that you serve. What are the ways that you bring people together in a time of division in our nation?
Yeah, so we have a few things that is like our bread and butter, and then a lot of things that we do that are in response to current events. And so if you go to our website, you'll see that we do host, Ray and I, we host a Reclaim podcast, AACC Reclaim podcast, where we talk about how we as Christians, not just Asian American Christians, but Christians as a whole, can reclaim justice in our spheres of life. That was season one. Season two, we are exploring the ways in which we can reclaim our cultural identities, because we know that the more each of us, particularly as minorities, grow in our cultural identity, our racial awareness and our desire for advocacy grow as well. Those two things are interconnected. And so we're really wanting to educate and develop that. We also have a Reclaim publication that offers really stellar articles that help equip and empower our community too. A few other resources that we put out last year in the wake of George Floyd was AACC partnered with Be the Bridge. And we put out a three-part video-based curriculum called Interconnected, in which we explored the history of racial prejudice between Asian American and African American communities, why it exists, the ways in which our histories are interconnected, and what it will take to move forward toward paths of healing and solidarity. Mm-hmm. And we also put out another series called Kairos, which is, a 4 or 5 part video series that specifically seeks to equip Asian American leaders and churches on how to equip and mobilize the church for justice. And so those are the sorts of resources and curriculum that we continue to hope to produce as we also move towards creating AACC chapters around the country in both churches and schools. So we've got a lot in the pipeline. Yeah. And just, it's sad that some of this is a result of horrific tragedies. Mm-hmm. But we really believe that the work of AACC and the people that are collaborating with us, and particularly these prayer rallies this upcoming Sunday, is really a historic event. If somebody asked me 5 years ago, in the wake of a national tragedy, hey, are Asian Americans going to do anything? Is the Asian American church going to do anything about it? I would have probably said no. But things are changing, and there's never been a coordinated national effort like this by the greater Asian American Christian community to come together to stand for AAPI lives and dignity and show the country that we will not be silent against hate crimes hurting both our own community as well as communities of color. So I'm hopeful for the future.
Michelle, what are the dangers and threats to AAPI lives that you want to raise awareness of? What did too many Americans simply not know is going on?
Asians are so often overlooked, and it's not just Asians. Asians and Latinos are overlooked in a race between America's black-white racial divide. And so often, because of the stereotypes that plague our community, the perpetual foreigner syndrome and the model minority myth, we are either constantly seen as foreigners and outsiders who are expected to just go back home, right? That's where those questions of where are you from, or where are you really from, stem from. Or on the other hand, as model minorities, we're perceived as somehow racially smarter or more successful, white proximate, and therefore any sort of problems that plague our community are either not that bad, or they're isolated instances and not part of a longer systemic history. Ultimately, people do not know the history of Asian Americans in this country, and that's where we start in terms of highlighting the fact that from the very beginning of Asian American history, there has been systemic racism against Asian Americans leading up to the first federal immigration law, the Chinese Exclusion Act in 1882, and then the Asiatic Exclusion Acts in the early 1900s, prohibiting all Asians from entering the U.S. And so part of it is to move forward, we need to break out of the black-white racial divide. We need to become better students of Asian American and Latino American history. And also understand that we're all interconnected, that our lives and the flourishing of all peoples can only come when we're caring for ourselves and for others. And so that's where I would start.
You know, there's something powerful about the Say Their Names campaign promoted by Black Lives Matter and other activist groups. I realize that most people have only heard the generalization, six Asian women, which is profoundly dehumanizing. Can you briefly introduce us to the eight victims of this horrific attack?
Yes. So actually, four of them are Korean and two of them are Chinese American. And I will not say these names as well as I should, but I would like to speak them aloud because, like you said, it is important to center them. And in general, when talking about shootings and tragedies of this nature, to center the victims and their humanity over the perpetrator. And so the women included Xiao Tan, a 49-year-old and owner of one of the spas and mother to one daughter, Hyun Yong Grant, 51 and a single mother of two boys, Dao Feng, 44, Sun Chung Park, 74, Sun Cha Kim, 69, Yong A Yu, 63, and then the other two victims were Delana Ashley Yao, 33, recently married and a mother to a 13-year-old son and an 8-month-old daughter, and then Paul Andre Michaels, 54, a former army infantryman who owned a business installing security systems and was doing work for one of the spas. And so, you know, we're still waiting to hear more information about these women, because there are questions also about, you know, is human trafficking involved? Are these women documented, undocumented? Which we only ask those questions because that could add another layer to these women's vulnerability, and another aspect of the interconnected layers of problems that led to this sort of situation that in which they lost their lives. And so there's more information that we're hoping to come by. AECC is also working with International Justice Mission and wanting to just see how we can partner there as well. But we mourn the loss of these precious people made in God's image, and we are outraged for the violence that's committed, particularly against Asian women. And I want to just mention, too, that the Stop AAPI Hate Reporting Center that was created last March has now received reports of almost 4,000 instances of anti-Asian hate crimes. And the majority of them, about two-thirds, have been against Asian women. And so that's something that we need to reckon with as well.
Michelle, are you encouraged by the kinds of responses that you've been getting to your work? And in answering that question, I wish you would also tell our listeners about the sign-on statement that you all are currently promoting on your website.
Yeah, you know, I think no matter what you do within a Christian space, there's always going to be some division about, you know, people for and people against. I think that's the nature of how things work. But I will say I am encouraged, particularly to see the next generation rising up, you know, millennials, Gen Z in general, but particularly Asian American Christian Gen Zers who are just hungry to be discipled in this way and are looking for the church and looking for Christian leaders to guide them in how to pursue justice in ways that are biblical, peaceful, and honoring. And so, you know, we've also made it very clear that we are hosting these prayer rallies across the country, but these are peaceful demonstrations. There will be no violence of any sort allowed or accepted. And, you know, one of the things that we want to emphasize as Asian American Christians is the failures of the church, the failures of the church to disciple its congregants out of Christian nationalism, the failure of the church to disciple its congregants to better love and honor women and immigrants, because that's all interconnected too. And so in our statement, not only do we denounce violence of all kinds and denounce the horrific attack on the Atlanta massacre, but we end our statement with six calls to Christians and church leaders of what we would like to see the church do moving forward. And the first is a confession of these failures in discipleship. The second is a concerted effort to preach and teach against anti-Asian racism from the pulpit. And then third is to commit to tearing down the idols of nationalism, misogyny, and xenophobia in the church through race and gender-conscious discipleship. In essence, what we're saying is that preaching from the pulpit is good and it's important, but there's another side of the coin, and that's how we're caring for our congregants week in and week out. We need to hear it on Sunday, and we need to be involved in the formational agenda of our people Monday through Saturday. Yeah. And so how can churches grow in educating their peoples on Asian American issues, anti-Asian bias, the exotifying of Asian women, and even Asian American histories of oppression? Fourth, I'll just say simply, is invite, empower, and hire Asian American female and male ministry leaders. Five, we are calling on churches to grow in their ability and voice of civic engagement and understanding civic engagement as an extension of our love for our neighbors. And then six, to actively work to deconstruct the stereotypes of the model minority myth and perpetual foreigner. And so, if you would like to stand in solidarity with us and sign alongside, we would be very grateful, because this is something that we'd love to see the church as a whole grow in.
Dr. Michelle Reyes is the Vice President of the Asian American Christian Collaborative and the Co-Executive Director of POX. She is also the scholar in residence at Hope Community Church. Michelle's work on faith and culture has been featured in Christianity Today, the Gospel Coalition, Faithfully Magazine, and more. Her forthcoming book on cross-cultural relationships is called Becoming All Things: How Small Changes Lead to Lasting Connections Across Cultures. Michelle, it's been great having you with us today. Thank you for this conversation on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. Just honored to be with you and grateful for your support.